Blog Talk Radio. All right. Slowly, good morning for those that are in the San Antonio area,
in the African area, or the Pacific coast. And I guess it's not yet afternoon there and on the East Coast. Shalom. It's Mashaba. I know it's Tuesday, and today's supposed to be talking about Tuesdays. And hopefully it's not too much of a disappointment that you got me. But Tuspa had to work today, as we were definitely still in captivity. We're still in on the plantations and stuff. So he had to work today. So I'm filling in, and we'll definitely get him back on again sometime this week. And remember, we're supposed to also still be getting coming from Albuquerque. Some classes coming from Albuquerque starting in the evenings. All right. As you know, one of the topics I've been going over is the wisdom of Christ versus the wisdom of the world. That's one of the many things that I've been going over. I just want to bring another aspect of that today as we go into today's class. There's not going to be a lot of fanfare. Even I guess that's even the wrong word to use, but usually times probably goes into like current events and stuff like that. The sister out there in California has been keeping me abreast of. If y'all haven't really been checking it out, the George Floyd trial is current right now. And that is, man, the prosecution, the ones going against the cop that killed George Floyd, they've been brought in some bangers. They've brought in some experts that have really gone to town on what this cop did. And, I mean, every last one of them said, no, the cop's defense attorneys are, I guess, trying to paint this picture like, and they haven't gone up yet. They haven't presented their case yet. But it seems like they're trying to set it up to where they're trying to say George Floyd was on fentanyl or something like that, and that he was acting really erratic, and that was the reason why he had to be restrained and why he had to be dealt with the way he was dealt with. But and the sister let me know, because she's been keeping up on top of the trial. She's been watching the trial faithfully on C-SPAN or wherever it's on. She's really been keeping us off of it. That cop killed that man. And for all the expert witnesses, I mean, they brought in MMA experts, MMA fighters that happened to be there and told this cop, get off of you, you're killing him. You're literally killing him. And what she was telling me, George Floyd was originally arrested for supposedly passing on counterfeit money. That was the whole how this started. He was supposedly passing out or trying to use counterfeit money at a particular store. So the store owner had called the cops. And in the case of that, that's what's supposed to happen. Counterfeit money, yeah, you call the cops. Apparently the cops got there. They'd already apprehended him. They had him in the cop car, handcuffed. And then for whatever reason, they pulled him out of the car. They pulled him out of the car and put him back on the ground. And that's when this cop, this police officer, put his knee on his neck. And as they called it, prosecution called in pathologists, expert forensic pathologists and everything, they were saying that from the way that George Floyd was trying to get oxygen, that he was no longer fighting. The squirming around he was doing was to try to get oxygen, that he died from asphyxiation, that he was not able to breathe. And then that from being on the ground, he had bruises on his face, bruises on his chin, and that was when he was really just trying to turn so you try and get some oxygen, like anybody who's being choked out would try to do. And that even the bruises on his knuckles, we'll see him trying to push off so he can just get some air. But the way that this cop had positioned himself on his back, on his neck, the back of his neck, or what have you, that he'd actually dug his foot into George Floyd's back to give him leverage so that he couldn't be shaken off, and literally put this man to death. And they showed on the camera, I guess that the cameras and everything were showing that you can see the exact moment that the life left this man. And she's relating this to me. I mean, the only thing I could say was, Father, come save us. Father, come save us. That here in this place, our lives really don't matter. Our lives do not matter. I'm talking about from every aspect, not just the police brutality, but even from the abortion clinics. And, you know, even going to the institution research with with over 17 million or 14 million as of 2018, it was 14 million legal abortions just in the black community from 1972 to 2017. It was over 14 million legal abortions just in the black community. That's an amazing amount of, that's an amazing number if you think about it. That would be like the populations of New York and Chicago just being wiped out instantly. Like, forget Thanos, like Thanos in the snap of people just wiped out. Over 14 million in that time span. So from 2017 to 21, how many more abortions, legal abortions, just in the black community have there been? Now, think about these numbers. As far as Black Lives Matter and Our Lives Matter, what have you, and the amount of death. But going back to the abortions, you got to ask yourself a question. What's happening to all the fetuses? Now, I know they tried to play it off that Brad Pitt movie, Brad Pitt and Fight Club, that they was taking the liposuction from the fat from people getting liposuction, and they was turning that into soap. That was one of the most high brand expensive soaps, and that was a fictional movie, Fight Club. We know that, but for all the fetuses and from all these abortions, what's going, how and where are they being disposed of, and what's going on with them? For all the stem cell research that's being talked about, Pizzagate. Trying to find this fountain of youth where people are the adrenochrome, where they're literally taking all the abducted kids, where they're terrifying them, getting all that adrenaline in their blood, and then taking their blood out and injecting them into themselves to stay young, to stay young looking. To stay youthful, to keep their vigor. Literally, they some like vampire type of fountain of youth. That what's going on? Where are all the fetuses at? Where are all these babies at? And what's really going on? And damn, there's a I seen an article. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I seen an article. I know. Usually, this is Tucker Paz's forum, and I really wasn't going to this, but still trying to keep that spirit going. As I'm sitting here in front of my computer, it just kind of hit me. Let me see if I can find this. It's an ingredient. That you might even find in your food. let me see. It was H. Let's see if I can find this. Now I really want to. Well, it's not. It's really running for me now. It's really running for me. Come on now. Now I'm looking through my search history on this one. I need to find my other phone. Let me try this. Let me see if I can find this way. I know everybody like heard the rumors and the conspiracy, how McDonald's puts human embryos. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. Human embryos. Here it is. Here it is. Found it. And forgive me, everybody. But it's if y'all do a Google search on H-E-K to 293. It's H-E-K 293. And it says, what is H-E-K 293 used in? H-E-K 293 cells are all the, while you are, let me just pull this up. H-E-K 293. It says here, HEK293 cells are straightforward to grow in a culture and to trans-effect. They have been used to as hosts of gene expression. Typically, these experiments involve transfecting any gene or combination of genes of interest and then analyzing the expressed protein. The widespread use of this cell line is due to the transfectability by the various techniques, including calcium phosphate method, achieving efficiencies approaching 100%. What I was saying, and again, might be just internet fodder, but it was saying that there are certain foods that you can find that have this in it, that have this ingredient in it. Let me see if that comes up. Let's try to get this. Because what I had seen, it was, I seen a video, and The person was reading a back of a bag of chips. I forget what chips it was. And the one of the it did say ATK 239. And is it this is human embryonic proteins or what have you. And now I'm not able to find it. It's not coming up. And the only reason I'm bringing this up right now, again, is to consider all the missing kids, Pizzagate, if y'all are familiar with that, the adrenochrome. I hate to say it, like conspiracy that's out there that all the missing kids and everything, that, and again, all these aborted, this is in the black community. Where are all these fetuses being dumped and disposed of? What's going on with them? For it to be over 14 million people, 14 million fetuses, where'd they go? What's happening with them? For all the cell stem research that's taking place, where are you getting the cells from? What's really going on? What is really happening? And then we're coming back now. Now in the recent news, we have the death of DMX. And about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, some brothers from the Light of Zion, I believe it was the Light of Zion, down there in Florida, wound up teaching DMX. He was getting some of the word. He was getting some of the truth about we are the Israelites, and he took some flyers and some literature. I was really, really checking the brothers out, not just walking by or whatever. He was really checking them out, and even was having a discussion with them. I'm not saying that was the reason or the purpose or the cause of his death. Obviously, you're seeing on Facebook and YouTube, what have you, that supposedly DMX took the COVID vaccine, and that's what actually killed him. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't a drug overdose, like might be being put out there, that it was that he didn't take the COVID vaccinations, and that's what led to him having his stroke or the cardiac arrest that he had. So I'm compiling all this here from the George Floyd murders to the Black Lives Matter movement, to the abortions, to the COVID vaccines and all that type of stuff. And remember, brothers and sisters, the scripture tells us that, it says, behold a pale horse. Let's get that real quick. In Revelations. Right, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, and it says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that set up on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And we've always broke this down, that we know this was the horses here in Revelations, the four horses was time periods, and that this pale horse was referring to the rebirth of the so-called white man coming back into power. Well, actually, it was just him coming into power, period. From the time of the Greeks, when they first came into power, through the Roman age, we had stepped in, took it over. That was the Dark Age, what the world calls the Dark Ages. And then you have the Renaissance, which was the rebirth of the so-called white man coming back into power. And then when he would come back into power, be in power, that one thing that would be noted about his kingdom, about his reign, is that he would rule, there'd be a lot of death, and that hell would follow behind him. And contrary to what the church is talking about, hell, whatever, we know that biblically, hell, if we want to get that real quick, is we go to Isaiah chapter 13. And I'm going to use that as a springboard to get into this class too. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 5. I'm sorry, it's 5:13. So when we go to Isaiah, one thing that nobody's ever done, but they rarely do, is give a biblical definition of what hell is. All we know from about hell is from really, it comes from a book called Dante's Inferno. And that's where they place the, where it's the eternal fire is burning forever, the demons and the pitchforks, and that type of torment. Yeah, Lucifer, and I guess depending on what angle you might be looking at, he's gonna playing cards with Hitler and Stalin, and they're down there just raining in hell. Almost like a Constantine, if you remember Constantine with Keanu Reeves, type of scenario. That's not a biblical definition of what hell is, right? We'll get the biblical definition of what hell is. We go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity." Now, I always like for us to really to examine and listen to the characteristics and the points that get mentioned in the scripture. Because a lot of times, not only are people cursed with illiteracy, a desire to want to read has not really been developed in our people for a reason, that we might actually now start to read the Bible. Our history book, our constitution, us, and really find out who we are. You know, one thing that used to be said back in the 60s was, if you want to hide anything from a black man, then put it in a book, because niggas don't like to read, which is true. That a lot of times we read things, and we like to read it so fast, so as we don't sound dumb. We don't sound, you know, stumbling over words or what have you. And for the most part, we just want to get the listen to the audiobook or listen to something so it's quick. If we have to actually go through that mental process of actually reading, we have an affinity to it. We shun it. And especially when it comes to the Bible. Now, we can read science fiction novels. We can read The Hobbit and stuff like that. But when it comes out of reading the Bible, we just, it's hard for us to, our reading comprehension, there's something that's there that just won't let it open up to get into reading. So we miss a lot of the points that come across in reading, which is crazy because, you know, we get text messages and the whole text message alphabet, vocabulary to me is crazy. LL, RMLAFO, what's that? TTYL, LY, love you. I mean, it's crazy. I thought when we had pagers that we had a you know, there was a whole vocabulary just through numbers that could get expressed. Now again, with texting and the shorthand that comes with texting, wow, it's crazy. It's crazy. But again, I'm just saying all this to point out how our reading comprehension, it really isn't there, that we really hate to read. And we get embarrassed. And then the amount of mental energy that it takes for us to try and read something, we use more energy just trying to read the words and sound the words out than actually picking up on what's being said. So in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, my people are gone into captivity." So listen to the first condition that the Most High is stating. He's saying, "Therefore, my people are gone into captivity." That's the first condition, that the Most High's people are in captivity. It says, because they have no knowledge. The second condition that he mentioned is, okay, you're being in captivity and you have no knowledge. You don't understand why you're in captivity. A lot of us don't understand why we're still being oppressed. That for the so-called civil rights movements, for the ability to open up our own businesses, open up our own schools, open up our own colleges, our own historically black universities or what have you, that we got knowledge. We got college professors now. We have as opposed to when we hardcore shadow slavery, congressmen, sheriffs, governors, mayors. But the knowledge that we're destroyed for, remember from Hosea 4 and 6, is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, and they don't know, we don't understand. A lot of us, it's crazy. A lot of our people don't even realize they're in captivity. They really feel like because they get a paycheck, from the stimulus check to just a paycheck, because they can get some spinning rims on the car. They can put a brand new radio in the car. They can get a car. I'm not a slave. I'm not a captive. I'm free. America is the greatest country in the world. Where else can niggas from the ghetto of Philadelphia, speaking like of Kevin Hart, become a millionaire, a multi-millionaire from telling jokes? We can sing and get multi-million dollar projects. Dr. Dre is not even a singer. He arranges music. He doesn't even play an instrument. And he's a billionaire. Jay-Z is a rapper, a criminal from Brownsville, Brooklyn, the Marcy Projects, a billionaire. So how are we slaves? How are we in captivity? Well, we know biblically that when you free a person from slavery, free a person from captivity, you send them back in their own land. You send them back in their own land, under their own language, under their own laws. And we know damn well since our people were brought here on slave ships or were conquered by the European expansion here in the Americas, that we're still subject to their languages, to the language of our captors, and we're still subject to the laws of the people of the land. And when that's set back in our own land, when that's set back in Israel. So this is the proof that we understand from reading that we're still in captivity and that we have no knowledge. A lot of us don't even realize we're in captivity. So it says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished. And our leaders are famished. To be famished means to be starving. To be famished means you're hungry. And for our leaders, depending on what generation you might be from, whether it be a LeBron James to a Ludacris, a DMX, to a Jay-Z, to a Migos, to entertainers, people that I look up to entrepreneurs, to as we get to older generations, going to the Al Sharpens, going to the Oprah Winfrey's or what have you, that our honorable men are famished, that the people we have set up as leaders are famished. The people that we have set up as leaders, they have no answers. They really don't have any answers. We go to, as I'm pulling out my hardcover Bible right now, one thing I'm trying to do is get back into the hardcover reading, and not just electronic reading. We'll go to Isaiah chapter 3. And the way my vision is getting is this might not be a good idea. Actually, Isaiah 9:16. And this was the giant print. When we match Isaiah chapter 5 and 13 with Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. What is it that we err in? Well, we know from Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, that it says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. So if we look at who we look to as leaders among our people, leaders from leaders in music, leaders in sports, leaders in industry, leaders in business, but what is it that we're still destroyed for? Not knowing the scriptures. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. And why do we err? Our leaders don't know the scriptures. Our leaders don't know the Bible. The people that we have set up to give us direction, from a Denzel Washington to a Jay-Z, to a mogul like Puff Daddy, to sports phenoms like LeBron James, that we don't know the scriptures. We still don't know the scriptures. It says, and they that are led of them are destroyed. And the people that are following these leaders are still destroyed. And again, Hosea 4 and 6 tells us what we're destroyed for. We're still destroyed for lack of knowledge. We still don't have God's knowledge. So for all the wannabe now drug kingpins, wannabe the new Scarfaces, wannabe the new Frank Whites, if you will, and I'm not using some old references of music and new movies or what have you, that we're really limited in our options, if you will. But yeah, we're sold this deception that we have options. We're sold this deception that if you aren't coming up because you don't want to come up, if you're on the bottom, it's because you want to be on the bottom. That America is the land of the free, home of the brave, and every opportunity is here for you to do this and do that or what have you. And as I get into this class, I want to come back and see, no, that's not really the case. But what I was trying to do is I'm trying to use the Bible right now to prove what hell is. So, again, we'll read Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to find me a bigger print, a super giant Bible. From Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished. The people who have set up as leaders or have been set up as leaders for us, that if you want to make it in this society, you want to make it in the world of business, you want to make it in the world of whatever the hell it might be, that our honorable men are famished. They're starving. They're lacking big time. And what does it really take to please God? What does it really take to even know who God is? So to be in captivity, to have no knowledge, and to have no leadership or anybody to show you the way out, to show you what's really going on. It says, and the multitude dried up with thirst. That if our honorable men, our leaders are famished, then the rest of us are thirsty for answers. And again, if we look at the suicide rate that's climbing amongst our people, the addictions from drinking to from ecstasy to weed, that these type of things are having been increasing amongst our people. For all these type of things, factors that are taking place, now we're reading verse 14. It says, therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. So to be in these conditions, captivity with no knowledge and no leadership, this is what the Bible describes as being in hell. That we're in hell having, now we know that we can get into all the Hebrew about the three different words for hell or what have you, but just keep basic English breakdown for hell is letting us know that to be in captivity with no knowledge and no leadership, this is what the Bible describes as being in hell. And this is where our people are at. We are literally in hell. So when we match this with Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 that we were just in, and let me pull that back up as I'm going to try and get back quick with my Bible again. Going back to my hardback Bible. Revelation chapter 6. You know, I'm liking this. I'm liking how it feels good even smelling the pages of the Bible again and hearing the book again. So in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him." So as we're seeing in the so-called one that came into power. And again, we can go into all Revelation breakdowns in the different chapters, what have you. But just for a quick and I can hear voices now talking about taking shit too deep and what have you. But Isaiah 6, verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him." That in this, the time of this kingdom, the time of this horse, it's telling you what's going to be prevalent in the time of this horse: death and hell. It's not like the character in Marvel Comics, the Ghost Rider, that's got this chain of fire and his wheels are on fire, and that's the hell it's talking about. It's not even like that. But look at how our people in the time of this horse, in the time of this horse's rulership, or the reign of this empire, which is talking about the so-called white man's empire, that look at how death and hell are prevalent, how death and hell are reigning. From the time of the Romans with the gladiator fighting, which was Jews and Israelites having to fight lions, tigers, and bears one another. No different than in the arenas today. Who do you see fighting? You see Israelites fighting Israelites. When I say that, I'm talking about so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, similar Indians, Argentinians, Chilean, Brazilians, Colombians, Chinese, Mexicans. You see us going to war with one another. If it's the MMA, it's us going to war with one another, getting bloody, getting violent. If it's boxing, if it's basketball, it's us going to war with each other for the entertainment of people. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer. It's us challenging and going at each other for the entertainment of others, for the entertainment of others. So going all the way back from the Roman times all the way up to present day. And the death is obvious from the persecution of the Jews in 70 A.D., the killing off of us, the time of Antiochus, where we get Hanukkah from. All the way up through the slave trade, all the way up through the game of the smallpox blankets and disease, to the Native Americans, to the legalizing of abortions here in America, the police brutality, the Klan brutality that slaughtered and killed millions of people, and the cigarettes, smoke, the cancers, things like the Tuskegee experiments that have been done, not just even here in America, but all the way down to Guatemala, where modern OBGYN techniques were practiced on the women of Guatemala with no anesthesia, as far as how to do a hysterectomy, how to go in and get remove somebody's ovary, how to really complete the abortions, or what have you. That all the type of things were done to the women of Guatemala upon the so-called one man just doing experiments of how to get these things done. That it's been nothing but death and hell for us in the time of this rulership. And it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. You know, as everybody does keep saying, how is it you can't even find a cure for the common cold, but all of a sudden now, in less than 2 years, you find a cure for the COVID? You find the vaccine for COVID? Come on, man, stop. Stop. That don't make sense. Then now, and it's crazy to come back and think about it, that now for people to think that now is salvation. Then now, remember how everybody felt when Barack Obama voted into the presidency? They had pictures transfixed with the white image of Jesus Christ, Caesar Brazier, with pictures of Barack Obama merged together as one, as if now Barack Obama is the new savior. Barack Obama is Jesus, that he's going to save our people. And if you think about it, the whole Black Lives Matter movement started during the time of Barack Obama, started during the time of the so-called first black president. How is that if he's the savior? If he's the savior, then why wouldn't that have been the end of black of movement called Black Lives Matter? Because not all lives do matter. Who was elected to 2 terms? You see where I'm going with this? That he was supposed to be a savior. Then when COVID hit, COVID-19, when it hit, everybody's jobs was on the line and nobody could work or what have you. Then the first stimulus check came. That was supposed to be salvation. Then Trump finally gets voted impeached out of office, voted and impeached out of office. And now Joe Biden has sent out this last stimulus package that was given $1,400 per person. Some people got some ridiculous size checks. On top of the income tax checks, people going around now like, I mean, living high off the hog. Life is good. But all these things are false in that our people still ain't trying to look to the Bible. We're still trying to look to the plans of what the Most High has going on. And it's about making yourselves more and more comfortable here in this place called Egypt. Try to make yourself more and more comfortable here in this place called Babylon. Try to make yourself more comfortable here in America. It's all tricks and bells. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's really established to keep us deceived. Okay, so I'm hitting these things up. To lead into this class, I'm really trying to get into. That the fact that our people are looking for so many different things. And ain't that what Christ warned us about too? Let's go to Matthew 24. And here I'm right now using my electronic Bible because I'm trying to get it done quickly. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And now I'm picking up my hardback Bible. All right, pulling it up now. Matthew chapter 24, and it's actually verse 24. Actually, I'm going to read verse 3 first. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. And it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And you would think that that's what people would really be concerned with. That, okay, we know Christ is coming back, so how do we going to know it's Christ? And it's going to be the end of this current world. Everything involved with this world. That the Lord's Prayer, again, bang my drum. But yeah, the world is coming to an end. That from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, Not the serenity prayer. Give me the strength to accept the things I cannot change. But the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That as much as we pray that, again, people have no idea what the hell they're saying. They have no idea what they're asking for. When Christ put those words out, they have no idea where Christ is coming from. They don't understand the context or whatever Christ had going on. Because many people, we say that prayer, when that prayer is said, in the hopes of the thought is something that makes you more comfortable here in America, something to make you more comfortable in this society that we're in. It's really not to do God's will. It's not that. It's to promote your own will. It's to promote, that's why, you know, we'll come back and we'll say, out of complete ignorance, out of completely not being taught the Bible, the understanding of the Bible, that if you ask anything in Jesus' name, it'll be granted to you. So if you're a pedophile and you ask for the things that will make a pedophile happy, and come back and say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, then now that's supposed to be done. Or just like when you pray over what the Bible calls abominable foods, pork, crab, shrimp, lobster, what have you. Yeah, some of the thought process is, as long as you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, then now he's going to allow you to eat that pork and not get upset. That all of a sudden now, just because you said in the name of Jesus, that for one of the things that got the Israelites in trouble with God in the first place was eating abominable foods. But now that Jesus is here, you can just say, in Jesus' name I pray, and all of a sudden now, what God has called abominable, what God said he can't stand, what God did not create to be consumed for human consumption, because you said in the name of Jesus, now it can be eaten. Now, and again, if that's the case, then why did Israelites come in captivity? If it was all about just being able to say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, then that should have turned over all of our captivity. Then we should never came in captivity. If all we had to do was say, in Jesus' name I pray, give me this, give me that, let me eat this, let me partake in that, in Jesus' name I pray. Then I sound a little thin. So, and coming back, the disciples were after Christ. How do we know it's you and it's the end of the world? And he gives a long list. But we're going to jump down to verse 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. Where are you at? Okay, here it goes. And he says, I'm sorry, verse 22. I got to start at verse 22. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. It says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, shall these days be shortened. Again, because people really don't read or take time to comprehend. And when I say comprehend, I'm not even just talking about just getting the dictionary and make sure you look words up, which is a part of, which is the beginning part of comprehending what's going on, but really catching the spirit of what was going on, catching the rhythm of how the Most High talks, how the Most High gets down. I am over 50, and I don't keep up with the modern music and the modern artists, what have you, but the most recent modern artist that I might be familiar with is Migos. The group called the Migos. There's a language, a slang, which is common, which is generational, that is used that unless you really, really, really pay attention and get into their lifestyle, you have no idea what the hell they're saying. You really have to get involved into their world so that some of the things they say, some of the metaphors they use, some of the things they mumble, it's even called mumble rap, that you might be able to comprehend what the hell it is they're saying. It's hard for me to get into it. I'll just be honest. I'm an old man. I'm definitely an old man. But it's hard to comprehend and pick up on what the hell they're saying. It's funny because I was doing some research to see how this kind of relates. There's an old blues song called My Jelly Roll. Today, here in 2021, you might listen to a song and be like, Jelly Roll. What the hell are you talking about Jelly Roll? Like, and you might think something about the donut or what have you. But no, my Jelly Roll, he was talking about his genitals. He was talking about his genitals, and it's an old blues song, that a song that my grandfather would have listened to back in the 20s and 30s, 1920s, 1930s, over 100 years ago, when he was a young boy, when he was a young child. That Jelly Roll, it referred to, again, genitals. Whereas today, if you listen to it, you would think it was a dumb song. You think it was a silly song, right? I can't relate to that. I don't get with that. I can't. That makes no sense to me. Well, the same way that language from that era and that time makes no sense. And you might even go get a dictionary and look at the word Jelly Roll in the dictionary. It's not going to tell you genitals. But the reason this song, particular song, whatever, was a hit, because people of that time, our people of that time, understood the slang. Understood it was if you want to call it underground, if you want to call it black music, however you want to call it or say it. It was us, but we understood where we were coming from. We understood the spirit of where we were coming from, or where he was coming from in this particular song. That even when rap first came out, in the way we put words together, that now the word bad actually meant good. Wicked meant great. That we took these words, even the way the term nigger, that what was derogatory or what have you, we took it and flipped it on, for lack of a better word. And if you weren't you had to catch the spirit of how things are said and what's going on. And that's the technicality of, well, this is this word, so let me look to the dictionary and get the dictionary definition of this word and fit it in. Even though at times, even myself as a teacher, I'll do that to try and help get the rhythm, get the spirit of what's being said. You know, a lot of people, they get turned off because they've been taught that there's no cussing in the Bible. And that something that's vulgar, the cuss words are vulgar. It's profanity. But if you really did your studies, an adulterer will be considered an MF. The way that the word adulterer is used in the Bible, it'd be no different if Sam Jackson is using the term MF today. But if you don't really catch the spirit and catch the even the hermeneutics, if you will, of the speaker, of the writer, you're not gonna catch these things. It's gonna just literally be words in a book. You're not going to really catch the spirit, catch the flow, or catch the vibe of what's going on, or where it's coming from, or what's happening. And that's where a lot of our people are still caught up in that same thing. And they get to the point where, I mean, we get to the point where, you know, where Paul was trying to come back and explain to Timothy, what have you, that our people have itching ears. Forever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That you made the Bible so technical. And then from the perspective you keep looking at it from or reading it from, you keep still reading it from a white man's perspective, white society's perspective, thinking or looking at how white people supposedly talked back in what you think is Christian Europe. And yet you're still having this really associated that the Bible is for black people, written by black people. And when I say black people, I'm talking about so-called all of us, all 12 tribes. That you're not really putting yourselves in, you haven't really made that connection yet still. You might have the black art on your walls. When it comes to the Bible, it's still hard for y'all to sometimes comprehend. This is how we talk. This is us. That and if it's an angry black man, what kind of emotion and what kind of vibe would he be coming across if he was saying the same statement today? That in the same statement today, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that your friendship of the world is enmity with God? That it is the black man saying this, and his passion is ignited. He's upset. He's pissed off. He's intense. How the vibe will come across? How? So we said you MFs and BITCHs. Don't y'all niggas know that if y'all down with them, you against me, that we are, we got beef, we got issues, we have controversy. As Bernie Mac said, it's gonna be a misunderstanding. It's hard for us to still put it together. So we think cuss words, somebody uses cuss words or swearing. I mean, you say cuss words, and that's why. Somebody uses cuss words. That's profanity. And it's an automatic turnoff that you're not even going to be understanding what's coming out, that all you can focus on is the cussing. Swearing is profanity, but swearing is not using the words S-H-I-T, damn, M-F, B-I-T-C-H. That's not swearing. Swearing really is you swear. When you say I swear to God I'm gonna do this. That's swearing. That's profanity. That's why the third commandment says what? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why are you swearing on God's name? You know, like when people swear, I swear on the eyes of my children. I swear on my Aunt Sally's knees, or some crazy like that. When you do that type of swearing, that's profanity. That's profane. Christ said, "Don't swear at all." Again, swear is don't pull God's name into something that you gotta try and convince others you're going to do it because you have a track record of not doing something. You have a track record of this. So now you're saying, man, I swear to God. That's what Christ said, no, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. How are you going to swear to God and he's in heaven and you here on earth? You don't control anything. So if you're going to do something, do it. If you're not going to do it, say you're not going to do it. But to go through all the drama and theatrics of, I swear to God, I'm going to do this, I swear to God, I swear to God. Man, I swear I'm telling the truth. That's swearing. Not the fact that you use the words, the four-letter words, I'm going to say it like that. Not the fact that you use the four-letter, that's not swearing. Swearing is exactly what, I swear I'm going to do this. I swear you can count on me. And it had to pull God's name into it as if you swear to God and somehow you and God have a connection that if you lie or don't come through, God's going to strike you down with a lightning bolt right there, right there. That's not how God works. But we do these type of things to try and convince others of our sincerity instead of just being sincere. We try and convince others of our honesty instead of just being honest. So now, I swear to God, In Christ, there's no need for all that. So, and I went up on a tangent a little bit as it relates to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. Again, let me read that again. Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, and it says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." If we put all this together, and I know it's a lot, especially for people who don't like to read, I know for people who don't like to study, what I'm saying it can be very cloudy. If we consider what was being said in Revelations about the behold the pale horse, and whose death sat upon him and hell fall beneath, putting that together with what hell is, meaning captivity with no knowledge, no leadership. Now here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, he's telling you that unless these days get shortened, there should no flesh be saved. To have Debo die, Tiny Lister, Hank Aaron, DMX, people from our generations, now passing away, directly to passing away from this quote-unquote COVID. And that's not even a mention. I mean, just with the COVID. How many have been lost in Chicago, the gun capital, the gun violence capital of America? And it's gone from Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C. If y'all remember, there was a HBO documentary called Banging in Little Rock, Arkansas, that came out back in the early 90s. That there was gangbanging in Little Rock, Arkansas. The same place that Bill Clinton was the governor of. They were right there in Little Rock. We've had so much death around us from cancer, diabetes, drugs, just violence, period. Heart disease, lung disease, strokes, high blood pressure, stress. Christ is telling us what? Except those days, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. From all the and y'all, if y'all are familiar, a lot of people have, it's already forgotten, and a lot of people don't even realize or know about Fukushima. The nuclear disaster from the Fukushima nuclear plant over there in Japan, that to this day is still leaking nuclear waste into the ocean. When we first started doing our blog talks, not the Exxon Valdez, but the my memory is gone. I got you to pull it up. I'm looking up Orbit Disaster. I cannot remember the name of it. Out there in the Gulf of Mexico. Wow. And as I'm doing this, there's a website that came up that says, "The world's worst offshore oil rig disasters." Wow, I'm sure it's on Facebook. I'm looking for something a little quicker. Deepwater Horizon, that's what it was. The Deepwater Horizon. more than 200 million gallons of crude oil was spilled into the Gulf of Mexico during the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. But the damage that caused to the earth, to the environment. Anyway, there was so much oil that they couldn't get rid of it all. So they put that correction. Anyway, all the correction did was make the oil heavy so it sank beneath the surface of the water. That oil didn't go anywhere. It just sank. So it was out of sight, so you couldn't see it. Now, for all the man, if we consider Fukushima, and I'm jumping because it's scary and it's got my mind all over the place. We consider Fukushima and like the jet stream. Everybody knows what the jet stream is. It's the winds that blow across the earth, the jet stream. That jet stream blows across Fukushima. It comes from Fukushima, Japan, in the east. It blows across the Pacific, and it hits America. As many times as the jet stream has cycled around the earth, around the atmosphere, it keeps picking up the radioactive particles and continue to blow them across the planet. There's nothing that can be done about that. So again, as we see the cancer rates, we're seeing people's immune systems getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Some of these things are not considered. As we see, again, the 200 million gallons of crude oil, 200 million gallons of crude oil that lead to the Gulf. And remember, the Gulf is just the heart of the planet. That the currents from the Gulf Stream pushes currents all across the whole planet, all across the earth. So that oil spread across the earth, affecting the environments everywhere. And as you go through the rain cycle, the evaporation of water, the congealing of water until it finally comes down as either snow or rain or what have you. Now, how many times now has that correction and that oil been evaporated and dropped? Evaporated and dropped, evaporated and dropped, to where we see the damage that's taking place across the world. Have you seen the mass animal deaths? I haven't gone into that recently, but the mass animal deaths. And you look, you can please type that up. Mass animal deaths. It got to the point where they said there's so many they can't even put them all up anymore. Whereas they used to do a daily mass animal deaths, now they do it like almost maybe just two or three times a week on average. There's just too many. Again, what is Christ telling us? That except these days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That when, again, from Revelation, when it's telling us that this last horse, the pale horse, representing the last rulership that was going to be on earth before Christ made his return, that is going to be full of death and hell. Christ is telling us in Matthew 24, what? Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. So as we're running around here like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to avoid the COVID, trying to avoid germs, trying to avoid this, trying to avoid that. Christ said, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Do we believe in the Bible or not? Yeah, some of that. I got kicked off the show, and I'm not even sure how much if my phone was even working properly. And trying to get some of the information out. Anyway, let me see how much time I got left. You know, there's scripture that says, he that increases wisdom increases sorrow. It also tells you, when you read and study, that when Daniel was shown the last days and what was going to happen, it made him sick for like a week. When Ezra was shown in detail about the last days, it tells you he literally dropped dead. And the angel had to put his spirit back in his body. It was so terrifying. It was so horrific, so graphic, to see what was going to be happening, to see what was actually going down. To want to get numb, to want to get numb and not have to really face the reality. Never really had to face these scriptures. To almost want America to continue. To almost want Christ, don't come back in my lifetime. Come back in my kids and my grandkids' lifetime. I'm not ready. I really don't want to face reality. I really don't want to face what you have going on. When we read the book, this has got me shook, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. When we read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, well, I'm gonna start verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. And it will not tarry. He says that he told Habakkuk, write this down. So when we read these things, it says that he may run that reading thing. Yeah, we're supposed to be running for our lives. When I say running for our lives, I mean in the sense of urgency that it's supposed to be produced of making sure we get right with the Most High so we can get out of here. Again, go back to your own research. Read about the prophets. But what made Christ cry? I mean, if we will really get real with this, what made Christ cry? What made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had spiritual power, what made him cry? When he saw the destruction that was coming. And that was in the beginning of the pale horse. Now you think about what I mean, from 70 AD what was going to happen. And all the death and murder and slaughter and atrocities that were going to be committed against us. Let alone the punishment and the consequences that we've got to face from the transatlantic slave trade to all the wars that have been fought, from the Crusades to the War of the Roses to, I mean, all the different battles of people dying, getting maimed, from the captivity, rape, destroy, or what have you. Getting here to the Americas and going through what we're going through here in the Americas, that made Christ cry. To think about these things, it was too heavy. Ignorance is bliss. When that ready? When that ready? New understanding about the 10 virgins, the 5 that were wise, 5 that were foolish. We really have not been getting ourselves prepared for Christ's kingdom, for the Most High's kingdom. Everything we do is to get more prepared, more settled, more comfortable here in this kingdom. How many prophets and when we read Hebrews the 11th chapter, you read about what the prophets went through from other Israelites, the tortures, the death, the imprisonments. Because people weren't trying to hear this. They really weren't trying to hear the truth. Cool. Brothers, I'm going to go ahead let this fast go. I really can't
question, like as in the days of Noah. They were marrying and giving the marriage. Partying and feasting and drinking until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And I think about that scripture, I only think about that Biggie Smalls song, party and bullshit, party and bullshit. Which I didn't make the connection. I watched some documentary on that recently. That whole song was derived off of the Last Poets. And one of the songs from Last Poets talks about, they talk about the revolution. And it talks about how niggas are scared of revolution. But all niggas want to do is party and bullshit and party and bullshit. And whoever was with Big at the time said, man, we should take that one part out the song. Party and bullshit and make a whole other rap record out of it. And that's what they did. Based on niggas partying and bullshitting. Partying and bullshitting. I know Biggie is from 20 years ago, however long it's been. But damn. It's all about now the party and the bullshit, the party and the bullshit. All right, brothers. I'm going to set this one down. Please continue to check out all of our YouTubes. Like, share, subscribe to all of the ISBHBK YouTube channels. And the next high holiday from Leviticus 23 is Pentecost, which will be May 1st. May 1st is Pentecost, which is the end of the Feast of First Fruits, the 50th day. All right. So with that, I'm going to say shalom, everybody. Shalom.